Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you here live from the Nova Fair Complex. Merrill Reese will be along shortly. We are here talking about the Eagles as they try to get this second half started the right way. Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals come to town. And, of course, we are hopeful the Eagles can find some success and sustain that success through the final eight games of this regular season. At the midway point in 2011, the Eagles are 3-5, three games behind the Giants in the NFC East. So it's tough sledding ahead for the Eagles. We'd love to talk to you about it and pick your brains, Eagles fans. What is going on with this football team? Where are they in terms of where you kind of thought they would be and why they are 3-5? I don't really have quite an answer. I wrote yesterday about the it factor. I don't think this team has it. It's a confidence. It's a leadership. It's a belief. And the Eagles don't have it. You can't lose four fourth quarter leads and expect to say that you've got great leadership. They don't, clearly. They do not. So this team's struggling. I'm struggling. You're struggling. We all feel lousy together. So let's talk about the team. 215-339-6709. Of course, the national perspectives are plenty, varied. Primarily, what the heck is wrong with this defense? And they can't get stops. The offense can't get points. The Eagles can't hold leads. The Eagles don't really have a whole lot going on. That's good. Sometimes they look really, really good. I mean, I thought in the first half against the Bears, I mean, they would be, they were lucky to be at 10-10. And then DeSean Jackson fumbles the punt, and away we go. The Chicago Bears did an expert job at chipping. You know, this was one of the rare occasions that Trent Cole had a free shot at Jay Cutler. Nice play there from Nnamdi and Brian Roll and touchdown Eagles. Let's take some phone calls here, talk to the fans. I know you've got a lot to say. Paul in Cleveland starts us off today. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've tried to deny myself any sort of media coverage lately. Just with I was so disappointed the other night. I think they didn't seem to have a sense of urgency. I don't know if that Dallas win got to them, perhaps.
If the Eagles believe the hype, it's ridiculous. I mean, if they really, I don't believe that's the case. I think they just got beat.
I mean, sure. No, and my next point was going to be, I mean, I did not expect them to get, I mean, they got abused in the trenches, both sides. I mean, it was, even when they took the lead, I felt that they were outplayed. There was one highlight you were showing yesterday. We've all talked about Rodgers, Cromartie in the secondary. There was one play where, the play where Bennett catches that first down, he's towards the sideline. I don't even know where Awesome was going on that play. I'm not sure why we went away from those strengths that were working in Washington and Dallas.
I mean, it's too complicated for me to tell you. I don't know if the Bears gave different looks.
They put
the Eagles in nickel. You know, they had three wides out there. Eagles brought in the extra cornerback, and I think what you see on defense is a lot of guys looking around, going, "Hey, what happened there? What's going?" You know.
And Rodgers, Cromartie pouting like almost after every play. Yeah. You physically see that, and even the plays where they were in man coverage. I mean, these crossing routes to get, they're getting beat. I mean, I don't know if they're getting turned around somehow, but I don't know. Anyways, you know.
Well, how do you fix it, Paul? What do you do as a fan moving forward here?
I mean, obviously, there has to be a sense of urgency. I mean, if they don't come out and punish Arizona, then I don't know. I have to cheer for my Browns again. I don't know. I'm just sort of confused and.
Can the Eagles get back into this thing, Paul, this season?
It's grim. I think it's really grim. And just, you know, playing the percentages, it's just the way New York's playing. And I don't know. I'm just trying to be real, you know.
Oh, it's I agree. I mean, I think it's difficult to now look. Clearly, you can get hot. You've got to just play really great football for 8 weeks.
Sure.
I mean, you win 7 of the 8, you're in good shape. You get 10 wins, but I don't. There's no indication this team can put that kind of string together. There's no indication at all that this team can win 7 of 8 games, can play the kind of consistent football that.
You know, I know the Bears are the perfect kind of team to attack the Eagles, you know, with their schemes and their personnel. But it looked, at least the other night, that how much smaller the Eagles players are than the Bears players. You know, I know it's not like that against all the teams, but from a physical standpoint, you know, stature, height, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Just the defensive personnel, I mean, it just...
They didn't look smaller than the Cowboys, did they, a week earlier?
No, I understand.
Yeah, that's the bizarre part of this team. It's not a bad matchup. The Bears, what are the Bears? Bears are 5-3 team. Good football team, but nothing special. This is supposed to be a great football team. It's not. It's a 3-5 team, and searching for answers, and hopefully they get back on track on Sunday against the Cardinals and stay that way, because after the Cardinals, it's go time. It's at the Giants. You know, it's home with the Patriots. It's a road game in Seattle in a short week. There's Chad Lewis running out to the field. Love that. With the military. It was a great environment on Sunday, or rather on Monday, and now it's all for naught.
Yeah.
All for naught.
Well, you know, keep up the good work, and you know.
Give me a prediction. Give me a prediction, Paul.
Oh boy. Let's go 31-10. Eagles.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks for starting us off. 215-339-6709 is the number. Merrill Reese will be along here shortly. Get a little sense of where he thinks the team is. We all know where the team is. The team is in a bad way. Boy, the thing that really struck me about the Bears, they tackled beautifully. They missed maybe 2 tackles. The Eagles missed dozens. Chris in New York, welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm all right, Chris. How are you?
Hey, you know, it is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Still miserable, but,
what is
you
it?
Know.
Yeah, what is it, though? What is it?
I mean, I'm actually going to tell you who I blame, and I just wonder who you place your bulk of the blame on. I mean, plenty of blame to go around. You know, Vic has the ball 4 minutes left in the game, doesn't get a touchdown.
Yeah.
You blame him, but...
I blame everybody. I don't, there's no one thing. I mean, it starts with Andy Reid. He clearly he's the one in charge here, so he gets the blame. He put the coaching staff together. He took the chance with Juan as the defensive coordinator. And he's coaching the team, so the ultimate responsibility is Andy Reid. I mean, I blame the player. The players are I don't see every player out there giving everything he has and then some. I certainly don't see that.
Yeah, no, I mean, just like I said, for me, everyone I think will assign blame in certain different spots. To me, I think it's all on the defense. You know, the bulk of the blame when you look at the end of the season, because I think you put a good stat yesterday. Not one sack has come from anyone other than a defensive lineman.
Yeah, well, they don't blitz. They don't blitz.
Yeah, or Juan Castillo doesn't know how to properly call a blitz.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw a DRC blitz from 10 yards from the quarterback.
And they don't get home. When they blitz, they don't get home. That's the thing. The timing's not there. They just don't fit. The Bears have been together forever. They fit on defense.
Yeah.
They know what the coach wants.
Even, too, with the wide nine, I was coming home from work on the radio, so I'm in New York. I had to listen to Boomer Esiason, and he said the same thing, that the Bears are constantly running through that giant gap in the wide nine. So if you want to say you don't have linebackers, you don't have the safeties, whatever it is, fix it. Don't sit there and, you know what I mean?
Like, and keep running it.
Yeah, or tighten up. You know what, first and second down, tighten it up. If it's a passing situation, then go to the wide nine.
Yeah, but there's
don't sit there and be stubborn with it if you don't have the pieces or it's not working.
But there are times when I don't blame the wide nine. I blame players, too. They're not winning battles.
Definitely a lot of missed tackles, but you can't blame a coach for that.
Yeah, well, you can, because the coaches are teaching these players. And like, can we show games other than the Bears? I am so sick of seeing this game. This game is nauseating to me.
And you know what bothers me? It really wasn't a bad loss. It was just the magnitude of the loss, because it pretty much put a dagger in the season. You know, I mean, someone just got twisted now.
Right. Look, if you step back, can you kill this mic, please? I am like, it's like blowing in my ear here. When the Eagles are, when we looked at this, when they were 3-4, nobody said they've got to win 9 straight games, right? Now, again, every time I talk, I can hear it in my ear. So you got to mute him and bring me up. Again, it's still blowing in my ear here. The Patriots, I don't think are a great team. I don't think they're great, but the Eagles lost another conference game, so they lose the wild card is going to be very difficult. They have to win the division. They cannot lose in New York. They cannot lose in Dallas, and they cannot lose to the Redskins here. And they've got to win 10 games at least. I mean, and hope the Giants lose some games. Giants are going to The Giants are going to have to lose. I'll take my IFB out every time I talk. Will that work better? The Giants are going to have to lose. We'll just go black. The Giants are going to have to lose 5 games, right? Thanks for the call. They're going to have to lose 5 games. We're going to take a break here in a minute. We have some technical difficulties that are clearly not getting better. The Giants have to lose 4 games. Have to go 4-4 in the final 8 games of the regular season here. And the Eagles have to win 10 games. And that I don't even know what that does as far as tiebreakers. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, Merrill Reese joins us in the studio. More to come here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. No Andy Reid press conference today. Players are practicing. We'll get the practice report for you. Locker room opens at noon. So we're coming right back on Eagles Live right here from the NovaCare Complex.
Opportunity. Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Phil Abundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th, when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We're going to go to a cut here from Howard Eskin from the NFL Network, who speaks to the fan cam, who talks about the Eagles. He's here every day. He follows the team. Legendary guy in Philadelphia, speaks to the fan cam, the Eagles cam on NFL Network. So let's check that out before Merrill gets here. He'll be here in just one moment. We'll throw it over to Merrill Reese in a second. But first, it's Howard Eskin.
Keep your eye here, a word on the screen, on the man highlighted behind Andy Reid there in the circle. That is the always nicely dressed Howard Eskin from WIP Radio. He's also part of the broadcast team. I think this is when Andy was disputing a call. I think it was that pass interference call that was on Jason Babin that was wrongly called because he was pushed into him. But that's a story for another day. And Howard, you were right there. You were getting it all right there.
Well, you notice sometimes I take the headphones off because I try to hear what Andy Reid says to the official. And sometimes you can't say that on the air. But in a lot of cases, he doesn't complain unless it's really a valid point. And I know today here at the complex that Andy Reid looked at the Jason Babin play, the penalty on Jason Babin again. And again, he believes it was not a penalty. But it doesn't make any difference. The reality is they had their chances to win that game.
What's going on with DeSean Jackson? Just a couple of catches last night, had the fumble.
Well, I that's not an easy question because, well, it is. I can think I can explain it a little bit. People look at his contract or not getting a contract. I don't know that's the entire reason. They're taking away the deep ball from DeSean. Now, this fumble was on a punt, and he tried to make something happen, and I have no problem with that. But over the middle, you see he might have alligator armed that just a little bit. They're taking away the deep ball, and that's where he was really a weapon. And then I don't know that he really has the same kind of guts that he used to have. And guts is a terrible word for a player. I know that. He just is not comfortable, let's say, going over the middle. So the Eagles have the short stuff with DeSean Jackson. They don't have the deep stuff. And if he's not going to go over the middle enough, it takes away the short stuff.
Philly sits at 3-5 here, Howard. I mean, let's be realistic. In order to get to the playoffs, I would think in the NFC, you got to win at least 10 games. We've seen it the last couple of years where teams have gone 10-6 and have not made the playoffs in the NFC. They've got to win 7 of the next 8. Can they do it?
All right, well, I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to tell you afterwards, I don't believe it. I think the Giants can lose the next 2 games at San Francisco next week. Then the Eagles go up to the Meadowlands and play them. I think the Eagles will beat Arizona on Sunday. And then I think they could beat the Giants. And then it's only a 1-game lead in the division. Now, all that said, I thought they should have beaten San Francisco. I thought they should have beaten Atlanta. There's games that they thought they should have beaten Chicago. They have the ball in their hands with over 3.5 minutes left in the game. All that said, I think they can go 6-2 and win the division because the Giants' schedule is so tough.
So you think 9-7 can win the NFC East right now with the Giants
possibly
at 6-2?
I think they really, you're right. They have to go 7-1 to be sure. 6-2 is a chance. But with all that said, I don't even think they can go 6-2 because
right.
I thought they should have won all these other games. I don't know this team anymore, Fran. I don't know them. They are better, and maybe that's a good reason why teams shouldn't sign a bunch of free agents in an offseason and build through the draft what the Eagles have done. I think the free agents, other than Nnamdi Asamoah, were good signings. But too many players coming to a team at one time with a new offensive line coach, a new defensive line coach, and I think those were hires that were good hires. But maybe there's something to be said where the draft is the way to go, and maybe one piece at a time. I don't know, but as Bill Parcells said one time, and I don't like to quote him, your record is
you are what your record says you are.
Right.
Period.
Okay, that's the proper quote. Thanks for helping me out there. But maybe that's who they are. I don't believe, I never believed this team would be 3-5 at this point. I'm shocked, and I don't know why they are, and we're all looking for answers. But to say they can go 7-1, I don't think so. Life support is a good word for it.
And we are back. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's go to Abrar in D.C. Hey, Abrar, how are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was actually better last week because I attended my first Eagles game at the Link.
Oh, which game? The Cowboys game?
Yeah. That was an awesome game, man. You know, we drove all the way from Virginia to go see the Eagles. It was pretty cool. I was kind of looking forward to the Eagles getting on a run, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no run in this team at this point. I mean, there's no run. There's no consistency. That's the frustrating part of it.
It's definitely frustrating because, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm frustrated, you know, with the fact that every year my team's getting out physical by other teams.
Would I agree with that? I don't think they were out physical against the Packers in the playoffs last year. They were out physical on Monday night, no doubt. Offensively, it's hard for me to say. Look, earlier caller, I think it was Paul, said he'd blame the defense. I don't think that's fair either. I mean, the offense turned the ball over 15 times in the first five games. So I don't think it's physicalness. I just don't think they have the chemistry yet. Not only they have the will, I don't know what it is. There's too many things that have gone wrong here to blame one or two things. I think there's many issues with this football team, and it's hard to win in the NFL, number one, and it's hard to be consistently a winner in the NFL.
But I think it definitely does something to the psyche of the team when you know, any one of the phases, any one of the three phases, your team is just getting beat. I think it definitely has. If your defense is getting out physical, I think it has an effect on the whole team. Has an effect on the offense.
Yeah, I don't. I think the defense just doesn't play that well. I don't think missing tackles is a symptom of being out physicaled. Now again, the Bears were a little bit different. They were a little bit more physical in a game than the teams that we've seen before. I mean, the Cowboys. I don't know. Look, hey, your theory is as good as mine. You know what, Abrar? I don't know. You say physical, I'll buy it because it's part of it. There's no doubt it's part of it. But I don't see the offensive line being out physical, for example. I think the offensive line's been pretty physical this year. Been pretty good. They've got LeSean McCoy on pace to rush for 1,650 yards.
I'll give you that. I mean, the offensive line is definitely playing better. But I still think on defense, I mean, you know, it's just I don't think we have the personnel to match up against, you know, the teams that just want to run the ball. I mean, you look at the Niners. Look at the Niners, what they're doing. I mean, they have a rookie first-year head coach, but they have the mentality of we're just going to fight and we're just going to hit you in the mouth and we're just going to out-physical you, and they're 7-1.
Yeah, I'm not a big I think they're a fraud personally, but they've had a formula. They the bottom line with the Niners is they don't turn the ball over. Do you get it? I mean, Eagles go into the red zone last week and they turn the ball over. Good teams do not turn the ball over. The Eagles turn the ball over all the time. All the time. That has nothing to do with being out-physicaled. They're just sloppy.
Receivers are getting jammed on the line of scrimmage, and they can't get open.
Yes, they are. They're open. Nah, they're open. That's bull. Tip passes, they're open. They're not getting jammed on the line of scrimmage. Jackson and Macklin are getting free releases. They're not. I just don't believe that either. I can't narrow. I guess the point is, bro, I can't narrow it down to one thing: being out physicaled. Okay, that may be part of it, but being out physical doesn't mean you're throwing interceptions, dropping passes, fumbling the football. You can't catch an interception, for goodness sakes. Catch an interception.
And that was going to be my second point was the corners. I mean, I was one of the people that wanted to see more of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw a lot of him on Monday night, but he was just getting toasted. I mean, it was just the one play I saw that he was, you know, frustrated with himself, like after he couldn't stop Earl Bennett for a first down, and someone else was having to clean up the tackle for him.
Yeah, well, Dominique has not been, let me take your prediction here in a moment. Dominique has not been productive. I can't tell you exactly why. Maybe he can't play the slot. A lot of being in the NFL and having success, and as you hate to hear it from head coach Andy Reid, but it is true. You got to be in the right place. You got to be in the right scheme. You got to be used the right way. Okay? Nnamdi Asamoah all of a sudden didn't become an okay cornerback. For whatever reason, free agency, new situation, new environment, different scheme, whatever, it's not as productive as he's been in the past. Teams throw at him now. Okay, big play in the red zone on Monday night, and they threw at him. So with Dominique, I just don't think he's right now a good fit for how the Eagles are using him. Give me your prediction for the game, bro.
And I just want to say one more thing. I mean, to me, DRC will get a pass because, you know, it's still his first year with the team and he's still young, he's still learning. But why is Asante on the poster every time? Why is he, you know, one of the highest paid corners and he's on the poster every time?
Poster? What do you mean on the poster?
Like he's the one getting post. Like he's the one that the receivers are catching touchdowns against.
No, he's not physical as a cornerback, and he's getting matched up against big cornerbacks. And he was sitting on a post route, slant route from Earl Bennett, who ran a flag route, fade, and it was an easy play. And when you're playing 7 yards off the line of scrimmage, I mean, you're relying on your ability to break on the ball, something that served Asante Samuel very, very well over the years. And it didn't serve him well in that game the other night. Give me a prediction for the game.
For this game, I think the Eagles will win. I think a modest 24-17.
24-17.
Yeah, it's not going to be a blowout or anything. But, you know, I wish I was more optimistic. But at this point, I mean, 3-5. I mean, there's nothing more to be optimistic about.
Well, hey, don't lose your faith, Abrar. Thanks for the call. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles, joins us and we'll try to hammer out an answer as to why the Eagles are 3-5 and what can happen the second half of the season. We're coming right back on Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast, not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
we wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team. And it, every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go on to philadelphiaeagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course, the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. We welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, at the midway point of this 2011 season. Merrill, how would you characterize the Philadelphia Eagles? Describe this team.
Extremely disappointing. Extremely disappointing. I would have thought that worst, this team would be 5-3 and probably 6-2.
Can you pinpoint why they're 3-5?
Yeah, it's easy to pinpoint because it's not one thing one week and one thing another. It's a pattern. And if you look at the four of the five losses, they relinquish leads in the fourth quarter. The defense cannot seal a game. They continue to turn the football over. And these are all reasons that completely repeat.
But there's many different reasons. Agreed? Just not winning the fourth quarter. Because
no, but it's all a pattern thing. You go to the other night. You go to Monday night.
Okay.
And you can talk about the fumble that DeSean Jackson
terrible
had on the
punt.
But hurt. It hurt.
Huge.
But, well, not as huge as you think. Because this team came back in the third quarter, and they tied the game, and they took a lead. And on the ensuing kickoff, when the Eagles were up 24-17, they ended up stopping Johnny Knox at the 11. There was a half-the-distance penalty, took the ball back inside the 6,
right,
and the defense let them out of it. Good teams don't do that. Good teams say, we've got the lead, and this is where we impose our will and turn the ball over to the offense in good field position.
Then why is this defense, Merrill, not good enough to make those stops?
That is the question, and that is the answer I don't have. I mean, they're either out of position, they're not tackling well. We've talked about that all year. There were Earl Bennett, and he wasn't easy to miss because he wore those bright orange shoes. I saw those bright orange shoes open so often during the game. I mean, so open during the game where it didn't take a great throw from Cutler, who, by the way, has a great arm.
Mm-hmm.
But he had receivers with too much space. He didn't have to thread needles, Dave. He didn't have to lead guys. But look at Earl Bennett right here. Now watch.
I'm really watching Asante right there. I'm not watching Earl Bennett. I don't know what Asante. Where's the challenge on that play?
There's no challenge. It's an easy play.
Yeah.
That's an easy touchdown on a fade.
Yeah. Well, it's been tough sledding for Juan Castillo, no doubt. Can he pull this defense together, Merrill, and make a run here in the second half of the season?
I hope so. I hope so. I thought, like everybody else, that after the Washington game, that was a good sign. I thought the Dallas game had us deliriously happy. And I said, you know what? They finally gotten it. Now they know what they're doing. Now everybody's on the same page. And this team is going to beat the Bears and then beat the Cardinals and probably go into New York or North Jersey with a chance to battle for the top of the NFC East, because everybody knew the Giants were going to lose to the Patriots, which did not happen. And they beat the Patriots, and the Eagles are now three games behind.
Merle, do you sense that the defense is not on the same page coverage-wise, assignment-wise?
Partially.
Do you see confusion out there?
I do see confusion, yes. Yeah. If it's not confusion, there are too many guys who were wide open. They had a receiver, he's not even one of their top receivers, by the name of Dane Sonsenbacher. Bacher.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because it took me 3 days to get his name. Dane Sonsenbacher wore number 18. There was a play in that game, Dave, where he was so open. I mean, there was nobody within 15 yards of him, and Cutler just threw a bad ball, mm-hmm. or had a little bit of a pressure in his face and just threw it by him. But he had wide receivers that were so open. If it's not confusion, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, we've shown this play, that Cyril Bennett. This is a bizarre play. If you can show this
again.
Can
I see that again?
Yeah, this is a play where, listen, okay, so Rodgers Cromartie is over top of Bennett inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Off coverage for him. And he runs to the outside. And Rodgers Cromartie just turns around and runs back. I think this was a second and 12 or something.
Look at that.
It just turns and runs. What's that all about?
Look how open he is.
And then there's no challenge. There's no challenge before the yellow flag. What is he doing waiting for him to come to him? What is Dominic Rodgers Cromartie doing there? Why is he waiting for Earl Bennett to get to him, to push him out?
I don't know. He has to be. I don't know about the hustle or the lack of hustle.
Yeah, I don't
right
know about
there.
That either. I don't know
but,
what
But I do know that there's somebody who is on the wrong page when you have a receiver, particularly Earl Bennett, who you know is the go-to guy of Jay Cutler. I mean, there should be somebody attached to those orange shoes on every step.
Merle, the other component here, the fourth quarter, the Eagles have not scored points. And in the four losses that they've had, that they've lost the fourth quarter lead, they have not scored a single point in the fourth quarter. What is happening to the offense in the fourth quarter?
Well, for one thing, there have been drop passes. A lot of drop passes. You go back to the Atlanta game, which was the Eagles' first loss. They were 1-0 going into that game. You go back to the Atlanta game, and then there was the pass from Kafka that Jeremy Maclin dropped that would have put them in position to win that game. And Jeremy, who I think is a terrific, yeah. terrific receiver, had one that he botched in the San Francisco game at the end. Jason Avant in the Buffalo game. I mean, there have been so many missed passes in critical situations, Dave, that you can't have the great Tom Brady-type drives to win games, or what Flacco had the other night. You can't do that when you're dropping passes. Jason Avant, who coughed one up after catching it. It was a fumble.
In Buffalo,
catching
right.
a fumble in Buffalo. And again, they all of them have made catches in pressure situations, but they've lost footballs that would have contributed to big, rousing, come-from-behind wins.
Merle, what's your read on DeSean Jackson?
Not making big plays, either as a return man or as a receiver. And again, I don't know why. I don't understand it. He does not, most of the time, appear to be open. He seems to be tightly covered, whether it's the way the defense is playing him, but he is tightly covered, and I don't see space. There were times in the last several years where you would see DeSean Jackson with a defensive back no closer than 5 yards behind him, trailing on the play. And all McNabb originally and then Vic had to do was lead him properly, and he would run under the rainbow and take it into the end zone. We are not seeing that. We are seeing him tightly covered on every single play.
Let's not spare special teams here, Merrill. They called the fake punt, and the play was there, and it was wide open.
Wide open.
And for whatever reason, Chaz Henry just couldn't get the throw there.
Can we see that again?
Yeah, you like the call?
I like the call if it works. I'd like to see that again. Just
yeah, we
just
will.
Here we are.
Okay. So here we go. It's fourth down, early fourth quarter, relatively early fourth quarter, and there's a wide open receiver there.
I mean, wide open receiver. And the ball bounces 7 yards ahead of him.
So, I don't know. What happened?
I think that Chaz Henry panicked.
Yeah.
I think the ball came back to him. He's a rookie. He was scared to death. He just grabbed it without making certain that he had gripped it properly and just heaved it in that direction instead of making certain that he had a quarterback-like grip, a passer-like grip on the football. He just heaved it. I mean, it's an easy play at that point. You have to throw the ball, what, about 20 yards at the most? At the most.
Yeah.
And that should have been, it could have been a touchdown.
Merrill, what do you think happens moving forward here?
I don't know. I don't know, Dave. I know this, that if they come in and they're thinking about the Bears game and they're upset and they think they can sleepwalk and still beat a weak Arizona team, they're going to lose. And they will be 3-6 next week at this time.
Oh, I shudder at the thought of it.
Well, you shudder at the thought. But if they put it behind them, if they put it behind them and play the way that this team is expected to play, is capable of playing, if you just look at the talent on this team, if you do that, then they blow out Arizona.
Yeah.
Beat them by 2 touchdowns and then head to New York feeling good about themselves again and just seeing what will happen from there on in.
And we've seen the Eagles make late season runs.
We have.
Now, and this is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, I don't dismiss that. I'm not one who says this season is over.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the drawing board. It's over. No, it's not over. There's a half season to go. There are 8 games to go. And if the Eagles have to go 7-1 to get to the playoffs, and if you ask me, are they capable of going 7-1? My answer is yes. Is it likely? No.
Yeah.
No, it's not likely right now if we're going on what we've seen so far. Bill Parcells said it. We repeat it all the time. You are what you are. Right now, as counting the Monday night game, at this moment, the Eagles are a 3-5 team and have played no better than a 3-5 team. They've done all the things wrong that losing teams do. If they pick it up, if they stop with the, you called it the red zone turnovers, period.
Kill them. Yeah.
Kill them. But you know what? They had two of them also. The Bears had 2 critical turnovers. One was taken in for a touchdown. That should have been the key to victory. But the Eagles...
I've never been around, I don't think, Merrill, an Eagles team that we thought was a good team that was unable to take control of a game and keep it, and take that momentum and keep it.
You're right.
It's amazing. I don't know if it's leadership, confidence, belief in each other, belief in the coaches, whatever. I called it the it factor. They don't have it.
No.
Through 8 games.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, I don't like to live in the past, but we have seen players over the years who had that kind of presence on the field. A defensive player.
Yeah.
I'm talking
Brian
more
Dawkins.
About defense. Well, yeah. he was certainly one. Yeah. And last night, I was at the dinner, the Otho Davis Foundation dinner, honoring Buddy Ryan, and bumped into and spoke at length with Seth Joyner. Seth Joyner had a presence, an intimidating presence on that field, and he was as much part of the glue of that team as anybody.
Well, who's a candidate to be that guy here?
Don't know. Has to emerge.
Who would you say the leader of the defense is?
I don't know that the defense has a leader right now. I mean, we hear Asante Samuel all over the field. I mean, he's a verbal guy with the team during the week of practice, but I don't know that he qualifies as a leader.
Yeah.
You would think that somebody like Colin Jenkins has the ability to lead. Trent Cole always leads by example. He gives you 100% of himself on every single play.
I think in the big picture, it's going to have to be somebody like Nate Allen. Maybe not this year, but
I'll tell you who played a good game the other night, in the estimation of Andy Reid, Kurt Coleman played very well. And he's got a lot of leadership qualities about him.
Right.
He really does, but I believe that he can be one, and certainly Nate has that kind of presence.
Yeah. Well, Merrill, let's see what happens.
Got to get Nate back on the field first.
I would be a little surprised if he played this week after the concussion, but we'll see if he's.
But apparently, Jaquan Jarrett didn't do badly.
Did he? Good. I thought he missed a few tackles, but I didn't.
Andy said after watching the video that he was very pleased, that he thought Jaquan Jarrett did his job well and showed a great deal of poise.
Good. Good. Well, that's a positive.
It's positive.
Eagles Cardinals Sunday at 1 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. Take a listen to Merrill and Mike on the Eagles Radio Network. Merrill, we thank you for joining us here.
My pleasure.
On PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And now we're going to take a trip to the West Coast and chat with Darren Urban from AZCardinals.com, who does a phenomenal job of taking care of everything that's going on with the Cardinals. And Darren, the first thing I want to ask you about is the big trade that happened earlier this offseason between the Eagles and the Cardinals. The Cardinals acquired Kevin Cobb, who they thought would be their franchise quarterback. Obviously, Arizona's off to a slow start this season. Are the Cardinals still happy with Cobb, and do they have faith that he can turn things around down the line?
Well, I think there's still absolutely faith that he can do it down the line. I mean, obviously, it's been a much bumpier start than they would have preferred, and he's dealing with the turf toe right now, which leaves his availability for the Philadelphia game in doubt. But I think it's still early. You know, given the fact that there wasn't an offseason to kind of train Kevin Cobb in their system, I think they're trying to have some patience with this. There was obviously expectations with both the trade and his contract extension that, you know, raised the bar a little bit, and they probably haven't met them at this point, but it's not like at this point that they want to just throw him off to the side. I think this is a work in progress, and you know, they're hoping by the time the season is over, they have a better sense of where this is going.
Darren, the team is 2-6 at this point in the season. What are some of the things that maybe were expected to go right that haven't for the Cardinals so far?
Well, I mean, you would probably start at the quarterback. I mean, I think they thought that Kevin was going to be playing a little bit more consistently, and he was off to a really good start. He had a couple of really good games the first couple weeks of the season, and things kind of changed from there for various reasons. I think, you know, he slipped a little bit. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, their offensive line has been inconsistent. They'd like to have some better play out of their tackles on a consistent basis, and I think that's affected them. Defensively, one of the things that they had issues with last year and that they knew was going to be an issue going into the season was the pass rush. And they're still kind of searching for some of that. They started the season, they're running a new 3-4 alignment with new defensive coordinator Ray Horton. And they're trying to install that. That had a bit of a learning curve for everybody. And then at linebacker, which is really the most important part of this defense when it comes to rushing the passer, outside linebacker, you know, they had a couple of veterans, Clark Hagans and Joey Porter, that, you know, to be frank, are at near the ends of their careers. And they had young guys like Sam Acho and O'Brien Schofield who weren't quite ready to step into that role. And I think there's been a transition there. And, you know, Porter's been hurt lately and Acho has been starting. And I think they're starting to see some of that pass rush ability flash here and there from Acho and Schofield. And I think they're hoping that that eventually makes an impact. But the lack of a pass rush, which they're still working on, also impacted their secondary, which they're very young, with a couple of cornerbacks, Patrick Peterson and A.J. Jefferson. And with those guys back, they're kind of learning on the job, completely inexperienced. I mean, that's not a great combination for your defense. And I think all that together, plus an inability to finish. There's been a couple times where they've been close at the end of games and they haven't been able to finish off the games. You throw all that together, you end up with a 2-6 record.
Well, the Eagles have lost 4 fourth quarter leads this season, so they certainly know that effect as well here in Philadelphia. You mentioned the team's first round pick there, Patrick Peterson. Look, he was supposed to be an outstanding cornerback from the jump, but he's been better than advertised in the punt return game. He had the walk-off punt return for a touchdown in overtime last week against St. Louis. Just how good and how dangerous has Peterson been as a return man?
Well, as a return man, he's been everything as advertised and more. I mean, he's been incredible. I mean, he did it in his very first game. I mean, the Cardinals won their first game of the year against Carolina with Peterson returning a punt for a touchdown for 89 yards, I believe it was, in that game, and that won the game for them. You know, he did it again in Baltimore in a game that, you know, the Cardinals felt like they should have won, and in part because he sparked them with a punt return for 82 yards, and then, of course, the 99-yarder last week to win the game in overtime against the Rams. He's got an amazing ability to be very nonchalant back there when he catches the punt. I mean, he waits until the last possible moment. I don't think the coverage men know exactly what he's going to do until right when he has the ball, which gives him an advantage. And, you know, he's been saying all along, if the blockers and his, you know, punt protection guys give him 5 yards, that he can make things happen. And he's shown that to be true. And even if a guy tracks him down or he's strong enough to fight through tackles, which is exactly what's happened against Baltimore and St. Louis. And, you know, I do think we're going to get to the point where teams are going to start shying away from kicking to him very quickly, because I don't know if it's worth the risks to them.
I wonder if we'll see that this Sunday, especially after the Eagles just faced Devin Hester of the Bears on Monday night. Now, the big playmaker on offense remains Larry Fitzgerald. He's had 90 catches or more in each of the past 4 seasons. He is 36 so far in the year with 3 touchdowns. How is he handling a second straight struggling season for the team overall?
Well, you know, I think Larry's kind of taken a different view a little bit this year. Part of that has to do with the fact that he just signed a contract extension in the preseason. He's here for the long haul, so I think you kind of look at it in a slightly different way. And he was one of those guys that was very happy when they traded for Kevin Cobb. And so I think he's trying again to have the patience to say, you know, this is going to be a long-term deal, and I don't want to rush to judgment on anything. But there's no question that Larry would like to get the ball more often. I think they would like to get Larry the ball more often. And he wants to win games. He only had 4 catches the other day against the Rams. One was for a touchdown, but it was for 4 catches for, I think, 30-some yards. But you couldn't have wiped the smile off his face after that game. It was going to be impossible. He was so excited about a win, especially the way it happened. The guy wants to win games. He's on pace still to have 1,200 yards, even though his catches are down, because his yards per catch our way up. But he needs to be an integral part of this offense. There's no question about that. But more than anything, he just wants to win. And if that means, you know, taking a few less catches, if they can find ways to win games, I think he'll be okay with that.
Darren, last question. We'll let you get going here. If John Skelton gets a second straight start this Sunday against the Eagles, what's a brief scouting report on him?
Well, John is relatively inexperienced. The game last week was only his fifth NFL start. He's in his second year. A big guy. He's, you know, 6'6". He's really strong. He actually runs better than you'd think. He's certainly not a statue back there. And actually scrambled a couple times on the game-tying drive last week that were very impressive when, you know, everybody, the Rams took away the Cardinals receivers. So I think he's got some ability to move around in the pocket. He's got some good pocket presence. His accuracy is a work in progress. There's no question about that. But his arm is super strong. He doesn't need much to throw it hard. And so, you know, if he can get an angle to a receiver, he's going to get it there as long as it's on target. So I think he's somebody who the Cardinals hope could turn into something down the road. I still think if Kevin Cobb is healthy enough, he's going to be the guy the Cardinals turn to. But there's no question at this point John Skelton's in a much better place if he has to start than he was, let's say, at the end of last season.
Great analysis from Darren Urban, who is the best at covering the Cardinals for azcardinals.com. Thank you very much for joining us here on Eagles Nightly.
Thanks, Chris.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We're with you. Let's hit the phones. Michael Vick in the locker room coming up shortly. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. It's been a bit of a surprise ride so far, but
and not an entirely pleasant one, Brandon. Let's be honest here.
Absolutely. If only we could go back and have Vince Young not say the words "dream team," I think this would have been a lot easier.
Well, I understand that from a media perspective and attention. But it comes down to when they're on the football field, the team's not doing enough to win games.
Absolutely. Here's my, you know, whatever. I'm no Dave Sedaro. I'm no expert. I'm not in the building. Right. But my fan take on it is the safeties are not playing well. I mean, I'm sure they're talented guys, but, you know, they're not.
The safeties?
The safeties are not playing well. Here's safeties and linebackers are not great. And I think one caller asked why does he keep seeing Asante Samuel posterized. It's the same thing for Nnamdi. They're doing that DB rotation thing where, you know, they'll have Asante as a safety.
That's only when there's no wide receiver lined up to his side. They will rotate that cornerback and put him in a safety position.
It seems to me that every time you see Asante getting posterized, it's because he's making a tackle in the third level of the defense, 30 yards downfield. And I don't know if that's a scheme thing or if that's just a, you know.
I don't know. I don't think Asante has played particularly great this year. I don't think anybody on defense has played particularly great. Jason Babin, you know, Trent Cole to a degree, and certainly Cullen Jenkins at times as well. I just think this team is hasn't found itself, and it's getting late here. It's 3-5. I don't know what to expect anymore. I don't know what to think. Where's the consistency going to come from? Where's the hunger, the urgency, the desperation? I don't see a desperate football team. I guess that's kind of what I'd say.
I wonder, so what is this, how many games, mathematically, I mean, we have to win every game, but mathematically, after, one more loss, you're done, right? I mean, that's...
Well, 10-6 doesn't mean you're done. 10-6 doesn't mean you're done. The Eagles,
right.
Eagles can still, if they can somehow win 7 of 8, you know, they're going to be in the mix.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's really tough.
I mean, I know that's an understatement. I get it. But I think the offensive line has gotten, I mean, with Harriman's coming back, I think they got a little better. I think these rookies, this time next year, will be a lot better, just having a year under their belt.
Hey, Brandon, I'll tell you, I still say I think the roster is a quality roster. I think the Eagles are going in position to be a good team for a long time here. But it takes a lot to win games in this league. It's tough to win games in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the Eagles are not, you know, they're finding out the hard way. You can't just roll out there and be a talented team and expect to win football games. You got to go out there and play for 60 minutes. And that's probably the most puzzling thing of all. Why is this team losing games in the fourth quarter? Now, Merrill made a good point, and it was a pivotal point in the game against the Bears. The Eagles take the lead. Then they pin the Bears deep in their own territory after the kickoff, and the Bears come down the field and score in a field goal. And defenses, good defenses, you know, you can't have that.
Well, and turnovers, that's an obvious thing. I wish these guys, you know, I love Deshaun, and Vic is great, and LeSean, too. These guys think they carry it. You know, it's that loaf of bread thing. It drives me batty because, they'll get an 18-yard run, Vic will, and he'll carry that ball out there like it's just hanging out there.
Yeah, I know. It's part of the maddening season that is. Brandon, give me a prediction for the game.
I'm going to go 28-17. Let's go 28-17.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one, Dave.
You got it. You too. Can we take a peek into the locker room? This is Michael Vick's locker. That's Henry Clay. That is not Michael Vick. That is live from the locker room. That is Michael Vick's locker. Got a lot of T-shirts in there. And that's Henry Clay waiting in the media, waiting for Michael to tell us what's going on with his team, to give us all the answers, to why this team is what it is and where it's going to go from here. JR in Chicago joins us. Hey, JR.
What's going on, Dave?
I know you're having a rough week out there.
Man, it's terrible. You don't understand.
Oh, I do, yes. I feel for all of our Eagles fans in the cities that the team loses to. I do.
Yeah, I had to take off all my paraphernalia, man. I was getting hammered. However, Dave, here's the issue, man. We have to be, and I know everybody said this a million times, physical, physical, physical. This finesse type of football is not cutting it for me. You know, we need consistency on both sides of the ball. I think that is everybody's getting so caught up in the names and the swag, and, you know, Vic's a big name, LeSean's a big name, Nandi, these big names, but got to have big play.
Yeah. You know? Listen, let's remind ourselves of this, JR, that every player in the NFL is a great football player. Now, some are perhaps better than others, but they're here because they are great players. So if you take the guy across from you lightly, he's going to beat you, no matter who he is.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think, man, we have to stay physical, man. I mean, it has come around. You know, we need a lot more team chemistry, but eventually, man, it's got to gel. It has to happen. Like you said, 7 of 8 last game. I don't know, man. It's going to definitely be tough, but, you know, I think if we can just stay focused and get out there, man, and start grinding, you know.
I'm with you. I will just tell you that we've felt this way for many weeks here, waiting for the Eagles to put it together and keep it together, and they haven't done it yet. So,
my prediction, man, 28-14 Eagles.
Okay.
We're good with that.
Let's get back on the – thanks, Jared. It's time to get back on the winning track with this football team. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live. We've got a big event coming up with the American Red Cross and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's our fourth annual Eagles Blood Drive, and it happens on December 3rd, Saturday, only a few Saturdays away at Lincoln Financial Field. All presenting blood donors will receive a special event Eagles fleece blanket. So please be a part of this. Call Red Cross at 1-800-RED-CROSS, redcrossblood.org/Eagles. It's time for you to be extraordinary, Eagles fans. Let's help save some lives, okay? So there's John Anderson from Fox in Philadelphia. Pete in Tennessee joins us. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, bud?
All right. How are you doing, Pete?
We could be better.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it is. And one thing I like to remind a lot of people, the turnover with the coaching staff, the lack of the off season, the team is not doing as bad as everyone thinks that they are.
You know, Pete, it's really hard to sit here and say that. It's hard to sit here and feel anything but a lot of disappointment for what's happened through 8 games.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
I mean, I want us to be undefeated right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at Juan Castillo, who is an inexperienced defensive coordinator. Not an inexperienced coach, but defensive coordinator. Trying to come in and fix a scheme that hasn't been right since we lost some Johnson.
Yeah, you're right.
Doing it with some phenomenal talent that is being asked to play in ways they haven't really played that much in the past.
Well, I mean, but the Eagles made a very aggressive move in the offseason. They added a lot of talent, and in a sense, you know, went all in. And to be here 3-5 is extremely disappointing.
It is disappointing, but I'm looking at it this way, and maybe it's just me trying to find a bright spot in a
yeah.
Dark
no,
place.
I appreciate it.
I look at it as this year we're collecting talent and we're evaluating our young players. I'm not saying that this season is a wash. If we win out and we make it into the playoffs, I think we are just as dangerous as any other team, and I think that the talent that we have on this team is probably the most talented roster on paper in the NFL. Minus a couple blemishes at the linebacker position, which even our young linebackers are still showing promise.
I think that the point you're saying is that, and I'm going to tell you, I agree with the sense that this team is not going away after this year. Okay, let's hope this team turns it around, wins the Super Bowl this year. The foundation is here for a really nice team for years to come. But the formula that we've been following here is start slow and then win a bunch of games in November and December and get to the playoffs. That's a tiresome formula.
But I have one issue that I'd really like to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
If Spags gets cut out of St. Louis and he's available and he's willing,
Would the Eagles bring him back to be our defensive coordinator?
I can't talk about that, Pete. You know that.
I mean, it's just something that some of the folks here, I found a couple of Eagles fans in Tennessee, and that's a couple of things that we've been talking about. You know, I mean, I like Juan, I really do. Just being a good coordinator, a lot depends on how you can adjust throughout the game.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I wish Steve Spagnuolo the best of luck in St. Louis. Great guy. We love him. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about him and what might happen. Juan Castillo is the defensive coordinator, and I want him to succeed and want him to do well and want this season to turn around and run the table here in the second half of the year. So, Pete, give me a prediction if you would, please.
I'm going to go say offense comes out of it, show against up. We'll go 42-17.
42-17. Okay. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Have a good one, Dave.
All right. Let's see if there's any update in Michael Vick's locker. I don't think so. Nope. Players have gotten off the field here. No one's talked to him. There's a field right now. We'll keep taking some calls, and then we'll get into the locker room here. 215-339-6709 is the number here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We've got Eagles Nightly tonight coming your way. Tune in. We're going to have some locker room reaction as the Eagles shake off Chicago and get ready for the Arizona Cardinals without Kevin Cobb. We've gone this whole way without talking about Kevin Cobb. That's how muddled things are here with the Eagles. Fire in Florida. Hey, Fire.
Hey, I swear he just called and stole all my thunder, man.
Go ahead, talk to me.
I agree with a lot of the points that Pete made as far as the team gelling. I thought it would maybe be a 1 or 2 year process for us to get where we wanted to be, just because of the offseason and all that stuff. Dave, the thing that worries me is all the talent that we have that I think we need to win, or I want to see win, we have this year.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how things go in the future. I want to see Deshaun here, but, you know, there's a stalemate there, and we've missed the trade deadline. I don't know what our cap looks like. We have to pay Shady. He's got to pay Shady. And I believe Macklin is our true number one receiver. And
so what are you suggesting the Eagles do with Deshaun Jackson?
I would like, if we could keep Deshaun, I'd like to keep Deshaun. I mean, but
would you pay him $10 million?
No, we can't. We can't because Macklin's our number one receiver. And then what we're seeing is defenses can take Deshaun out of the game. So the guys you pay $10 million to are the guys that doesn't matter if they're open or not, and they're going to bring it down. Those are guys you pay $10 million to. And pay $10 million to guys who you take out of the game by putting safety deep.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very I don't want to look ahead to that yet because we got a lot going on here this year. But the offseason is going to be very, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Oh, I don't want to that too fast, but I think, for me personally, that's what makes our 3-5 suck.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see us do it, man. And you know, we got new coaches, new players, and young players and rookies. And I think it was, you know, it was going to be a great task for us, successful, but still, we're showing we can do it. The games we've done well, the Dallas game, the Redskins.
Yeah, I know the flashes are there. It just is where, you know, where's the consistency here?
Yeah, and tackling has nothing to do with new coaches. You've got to make those tackles, man. You know,
unfortunately, it does in the sense that you have to. You're responsible for teaching them. You're responsible for the fundamentals. The coaches are responsible for pretty much everything.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, I saw two plays in that Chicago game that I kind of just feel sums this up in general. You got the special team punt fake that just came up short.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that says the opportunity was there.
Yeah.
But we didn't make the play.
Yeah.
And then you got the play when Cutler was on his butt, and you got three defensive ends that could have made that sack just by tagging him. And the guys just were kind of just not in position to do it. They were there, but they just couldn't do the extra to get there for whatever the reason was.
And then they ended up tackling each other.
Yeah, and then he makes a play and throws it to one of their bum receivers who beat it for 8 yards or something.
Their bum receivers had a field day against the Eagles, all right? So Bears put up 30 points.
Yep, yep, yep. And a couple more plays, we could have won that game. And last thing on our defensive backs, BRC, he is at least the third best cornerback on our team. I think everybody knows that. But he's not the first best slot corner on our team.
No.
So I think he's playing out of position.
Well, then what do you suggest doing?
Hanson has been a good slot receiver for a long time.
So you're benching DRC?
I'm not benching him. I'm saying that we're using different packages. Somebody on the chat had a great suggestion of, you know, when we're in the red zone defensively, you know, we don't have to have Sante and whoever else in there. I mean, just the best packages, man, for each situation. And nobody has to take it personal, you know?
Well, but you know what? Look, I don't disagree in the sense of make some moves. But the minute you take Asante Samuel off the field, you are going to open up quite a little bit of controversy and questions, and you know you saw how Asante reacted when he was the subject of trade rumors. How will he react if he gets benched?
The term benched is just politics. The term starting is politics. I mean, if you start five defensive backs, you got five quote-unquote starters, right? If you put a guy in on a certain package, that's just a package.
All right. Well, look, you know, let's not be naive here. All right? You put one of those cornerbacks on the bench, and you are opening up a huge can of worms here. And I'm not saying you don't do that, because something has to be done to the defense. I'm just saying if you do it, you know, you find out how guys react to that sort of rejection, that sort of snub. And it's not going to be pretty.
Hope that in the future moving forward, we just consistently have the best guys on the field to make the plays, period. And I think we'll be successful.
It's the danger of bringing in all these talented players. They have to adjust to new. You think Steve Smith is happy right now? You think he's glad that he signed with the Eagles?
I have a theory on that, but I'm not going to share it right now.
What do you think? Let me tell you what your theory is. I know what your theory is.
Well, yeah, you already know. I mean,
your theory is that the Eagles are going to sign him to a long-term deal and not DeSean Jackson.
Well, not that they're not going to sign DeSean. I think they got him in case they couldn't sign DeSean, so we wouldn't just have nothing.
He's here in a one-year deal, so, you know, it doesn't matter either way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the guys that I think makes the contract situation a little funny, but that's the future, man. Let's go ahead and win seven games in a row. You know, eight would be perfect. I can take one loss. And then we'll be playing good enough to actually make a run in the playoffs.
Give me a prediction.
First.
Give me a prediction for Sunday.
Who are we playing? Arizona? How about 27-10? We play well at home, which is another issue we've been having.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. 1-3, 1-6 in their last seven games at home. Amazing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just wondering if we're too comfortable at home or something.
I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know. It's very strange. Hey, thanks for the call, Fryer.
Hey, thanks, man. Bye.
All right, man. All right, let's take a little break here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. When we return, we go into the locker room. Michael Vick, etc., coming off the practice field, and we'll get them for you live right here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now,
Mike, do you feel compelled more than ever to put this team on your back, try to get things back on track here?
Yeah, well, I just want to just go out and win the next game and, you know, do it cohesively as a unit, collectively, and, you know, not try to do everything on my own. But, you know, in order to win in this league, you have to play as a team, and I think that's very important, and we have to do that.
Mike, why haven't the Eagles been able to come back in the fourth quarter and beat anybody like late?
I don't know. I really can't say. I just know we have opportunities to win games, and, you know, when you're in that position, you got to take full advantage of it. Other than that, you know, it's not so much you can do. I mean, you know, like I said, you got to win as a unit, you know, offense, defense, special teams, all three phases of the game, and that's how you get it done.
Mike, I know you're a big football fan, big college football fan. Can you just talk about your impression of what's going on at Penn State and the news about Joe Paterno today?
You know, very saddened to hear that, you know, what's been going on. You know, I'm a big fan of Coach Paterno, and you know, I just hope everything works out. You know, we never want to hear about anything like that, you know, the negative publicity behind everything. And you know, I think, you know, the reputation that the school has has been, you know, hard-earned. So, you know, hopefully things will get worked out there, and I think they will.
Mike, when you look at the tape of what the Bears did, was it the first time that teams really tried to focus on taking away the run game and LeSean McCoy and what he's done?
Well, I think, you know, they just did a great job in, you know, all phases of the game. Their scheme, like, they have very, very good defensive football players over there, starting with the guy in the middle, Brian Urlach, and his counterpart, Lance Briggs. And, you know, guys feed off them. And then they was able to make plays, and they did it. You know, for four quarters, and we did.
Andy said yesterday that it's not so much what the other guys are doing, but you've become almost your own worst enemy. Your reaction to that?
That's true. I mean, you know, we beat ourselves. I think, you know, when certain things happen in the game, we kind of, you know, just, you know, it's like we go into a panic, and we can't do that. We got to keep pushing forward, stay confident, keep that edge and that attitude. And, you know, when we do that, you know, we're one of the best teams in this league, I think. And when we don't, you know, obviously we see what happens. We don't win football games. So the next eight games, we got to stay on edge. Done with this week.
Mike, assuming Kevin Cobb is able to play this week, just, you know, knowing him as you do, what do you think it means to him to come back here?
I think it'll mean a lot to Kev to come back. You know, have an opportunity to play against his former team. That's always a fun thing. I did it in Atlanta weeks back. So, you know, we'll both just enjoy the experience. I'm pretty sure he will, and have the opportunity to play against one another.
Have you followed what he's gone through this season?
Me and Kev, we stay in touch. No, nothing has changed between us. And, you know, just try to encourage one another. We've both been through, you know, rough times the last couple of weeks, so we tried to be there for one another.
What's your relationship with Kevin? I mean, you guys always pretty close. I mean, you guys
We have a good relationship, you know, still do to this day.
Mike, when you first got the starting job last year, you went through maybe a historic high, you know, some of the best games of your career, it seemed like. It hasn't seemed to return that same hype this year. Is there something different this year? Do you guys play any differently, or what's been the issue?
I don't know. I mean, you asked the same question last week.
Me?
Yeah, you same question last week. But it's cool, though. I mean, I just feel like... you know, things happen for a reason, and you can only control what you control. I don't think defenses are playing me differently. You know, things are pretty much the same. We got more turnovers this year than we do last year, and that's been the key.
A lot of people, when things go bad, they say, wonder about leadership and all that kind of thing, which I know that you would take personally. I mean, what's your response to that? What do you think about the leadership on the team?
We have tremendous leadership on this team. That's not our problem. You know, as far from that. You know, I think our guys do a great job of leading, myself, Cullen, Santi, you know, other guys stepping up. So, you know, we have that. You know, we're good in that department. It's just, you know, going out and getting it done in the football field has been our biggest problem.
Is there any concern about overlooking this Cardinals team with a 2-6 record?
Not at all. You can't overlook anybody in the NFL because we're all professionals and we all have professional coaches and we all come to play. So, you know, you still got to take it one game at a time, and that has to be the approach, and you got to win.
Last one, guys. Last one.
A minute ago, you used the word panic when talking about when things go wrong. Is this team, like, emotionally soft, do you think?
We're going to conclude on that. I can't answer that question right now. I'd say this team is not emotionally soft at all. We're going to conclude on that.
That's Michael Vick, and I know that he is taking the positive approach, and I understand that that's the way to do it. But to say that this team has tremendous leadership, it's just hard to swallow when you're 3-5 and have lost four games in the fourth quarter. It's a difficult idea to digest. And I know Michael is giving the public face, and that's the way you do it. But my view is that you don't lose four fourth quarter leads, if you have great leadership. Dave Spadaro with you. We'll get you more in the locker room here. Let's take a little break. We got a little cheerleader look-see for you as well right after the break.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Second season as an Eagles cheerleader. My favorite thing about being an Eagles cheerleader is having the opportunity to perform for thousands of fans at the Eagles games. The energy and the enthusiasm at the stadium on game day is unbelievable, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Aside from being an Eagles cheerleader, I attend Westchester University, where I am pursuing a degree in communications and public relations. I'll be graduating next May, and I would hope to be working somewhere in Philadelphia in the public relations field. Sexy to me is somebody who is confident and definitely comfortable in their own skin and doesn't care what other people think about them. I think a dream date actually depends on the person you're with rather than the place you're going. I personally like somebody who is very outgoing and has a great sense of humor, and as long as I'm with someone that can make me laugh, I know I'll be having a good time. A guilty pleasure that I have is actually watching Disney Channel TV shows. I have an 8-year-old brother, so he always has them on, and when I'm babysitting him or watching him, I catch myself watching them all the time, and I actually really like them. Something that most people wouldn't know about me is that I'm actually petrified of fish. I cannot even stay in the ocean for over 5 minutes because I'm afraid something is gonna touch me or something. And everybody says how scuba diving is so amazing. Every time I put the goggles on and go under the water and see the fish, I get so scared I have to jump out.
All right, looking good there. Looking good there, Danny. Looking good. Hey, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. I got no food here. But you have the opportunity to get some food. Our good friends at 7-Eleven have a special that you would absolutely love to tackle. Tackle your hunger at participating 7-Elevens with two of our Go-Go Taquitos for just $2.29. Two Go-Go Taquitos for $2.29 at participating 7-Elevens. Ken in Colorado joins us. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Been better, my friend. Been better. If you only knew how crabby I am today.
When I called last week, I did so hoping for some continuation of momentum, and that didn't pan out.
No.
But, you know, I think you and Merle kind of was hitting the nail on the head as far as two things. You know, these guys are missing character and chemistry.
Yeah.
And we were kind of hoping the chemistry would come along, and it looked like maybe in the Dallas game it was. But, you know, the character comes, I think, from leadership. And if you look in that defensive huddle, if you're the guy when things are starting to go south and you're looking around for somebody who's going to got that Ray Lewis personality, that Clay Matthews personality that's going to say, all right, you know, we're going to take you from here.
Well, there's one thing, and I agree with you, Ken, but, and there's one thing to be that kind of personality, but, you know, more importantly, there's the guy who makes the play. And there's nobody here who makes the play.
Example, I mean, you can be Asante Samuel and be, a loud, fun-loving guy. You can be a Colin Jenkins who's comes from a team, but, you know, you got to be the guy who makes the plays, the guy who they look at and they go, yeah, this guy's not going to let it happen. I'm watching him. I'm watching him make plays. And the same thing on offense. I mean, Michael's got all the desire to be a great leader and the intensity, but at the end of the game, when on a 4th and 10, you overthrow Jeremy Maclin, that's the difference between a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning and an Aaron Rodgers that don't miss those throws. And that's the type of a throw that when you make that, your teammates look at you and you go, this guy's not going to let us lose, and I'm not going to be the one responsible for us losing either.
Well, first of all, he didn't overthrow Jeremy Maclin. I don't believe Maclin was going to make it. The Bears were in, let's look at the play again, 4th and 10, Eagles, down to their last play. The Bears had three players converging on Maclin. They played that zone to allow Maclin to have the catch, and then they were going to close on him before he got to the yellow stick, okay, the yellow mark. So you see him, right there, and then the cornerback, then Banks. Look at the guys chasing him. I don't think he's making it right there. Man, maybe. But I think we
got an incompletion. I mean, it's those types of, to be that kind of leader, you got to make those plays in the fourth quarter in those critical situations. I mean, when Brady gets in the huddle at the end of a game and they're behind like he did against Dallas and like he almost did this last week, and he's looking at his other guys, they know that he's going to take them down the field and he's going to make the plays to get them in the end zone. And that's the type of leadership. There's nobody on the offense at the moment. There's nobody on the defense that has made those plays consistently that can be a leader.
Well, there's no Ken, no question about it. I'm not going to disagree with you there.
I'm looking at this defensive scheme, and where I see the problem is, I don't see anybody playing this wide nine. Detroit is the other example.
Detroit plays at Tennessee. A lot of teams play it in spurts.
But who's had any real success with it? Because I think where the Eagles are lacking is clearly we're getting beat by inferior receivers because they're not pressuring the quarterback with just four guys.
Well, that's not the wide nine is simply in this case, Jason Babin moves off the line of scrimmage three yards and angles his body in so he gets out into the edge a little faster and beats the offensive tackle to the edge. Now, I will absolutely 1,000% agree with you that the Eagles, their coverage in zone coverage is really been very inconsistent this year.
And that's where I think maybe it's not necessarily the wide nine, that's just the name, but the aggressiveness of the defense. If you look at the teams that are playing great defense, they're aggressive defenses. They're the Ravens, they're the Steelers that are calling after the quarterback. If we're throwing only four guys in the rush, regardless of what the configuration is, and the other team has gone to max protect and sending out two receivers and they've got enough time to find them open, a guy like Cutler, anybody is going to be able to break down, the best corners in the league. And that's a flaw that I think the Eagles just have to get back to being more aggressive and getting on that quarterback and not giving him a chance to pick us apart.
Well, it's interesting. When we talked to Juan all through the offseason, we all kind of tried to figure, hey, how is this, what's going to happen here? How's this defense going to be configured? I kind of thought it was going to be Jim Johnson's defense, Sean McDermott's defense, same technology, but it's clearly not. They don't blitz at all. They play coverage.
And other pass rushers. I mean, they could be bringing other pass rushers in on pass rush situations and rushing five guys and blitzing occasionally, and that's when maybe you can rely on the one-on-one cornerback play, because then they've got pressure, then they can press the receivers, and they have a better chance. I mean, but if you let these guys have 4, 5, 6 seconds to throw, yeah, anybody's going to get open. That's when you play man-on-man, when you got the pass rush, and we're not getting the pass rush with four. We need we need pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, so I agree that to me, I know the run defense has been very spotty, but getting the consistent pressure on the quarterback has been a big problem for this football team. Ken, give me a prediction for the game on Sunday.
I'm going to go 31-13, Birds.
31-13 Birds. And you holding out a little bit of hope here still, Ken?
Well, I think they can beat, here's my plan. I'm hoping it works out. I think they can beat the Cardinals. I think they can get another one of those emotional games, come back and beat the Giants. And if they can beat the Giants, then I think they can get on that roll that they need to be on.
Yeah. Then you're 5-5, and who knows what happens. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
You got 215-339-6709, the number. We have some line. We have some locker room. Who do we have? I'm getting it there. Quiet locker room today. Quiet. We heard Michael Vick earlier. The focus here is to get back on track here and beat the Cardinals. Now, Brandon Graham last week made his season debut, 4 tackles. I thought he looked pretty good coming off that knee injury. How are they going to work all of these DNs? I don't know. Got a lot of DNs, got a lot of cornerbacks, and I understand why. 2 very, very critical positions. What do the Eagles do at that position? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to hear from Brandon Graham in just one moment here. Let's first take a phone call. Where are we going to go here? Where are we going to go? Let's go to Chris in Virginia. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, Dave?
Chris. A long way from training camp, huh?
Dave, you know what, man? It's a long, long, long way from training camp.
What's going on with this football team?
You know, I just, like you said, Dave, I just don't see it, man. Any teams, their fourth quarter leads, giving it up and offense not scoring points, and that's both sides of the ball right there.
I cannot believe it. I'm stunned at where this team is right now, 3-5, and the way they've lost, Chris, has been so frustrating. I mean, we thought this team would get a lead, right, and just blow teams away, bring the pass rush, high tempo offense, and instead it's been exactly the opposite.
And it's so frustrating because you'll see unbelievable third quarters.
The second and third quarter has been unbelievable for this team. The fourth quarter has been a disaster.
Unreal.
Well, give me a prediction for the game at least. Give me some good news here. Give me something that make me feel a little bit better about myself today.
Dave, I'm going to make you feel better. You know what? I was at the game Monday night.
Yes.
That is probably the most I've stood at any football game I've ever been to.
Tell me why.
I mean, you could tell the crowd kind of knew that this game here. I mean, see, the first drive, the Bears' first drive, for 5-6 minutes, nobody sat down. Everybody was standing up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everybody got up on the big third downs. I mean, the place was loud. I mean, fans knew how big the game was, and it's just unfortunate the team couldn't deliver.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought the place was loud and rocking the whole night.
I agree. I thought the in-stadium show was great. I thought the fans were fantastic. Team just didn't win the game.
Well, let me give you a prediction so you can get on to other things.
Okay.
Let's go 28-14 Birds.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, take it easy.
All right, time to go in the locker room now. It's Brandon Graham looking forward to his second game of this 2011 Eagles season.
Because I'm not all the way there yet, but I felt good.
And first time that you had your body in action in a game since December. So how'd the knee come out? How'd the rest of the body feel when the next day?
Well, my knee wasn't hurting at all. It was just more so just shoulders and just little aches and pains, but nothing too serious. Like, my knee feels fine. No problems at all. I'm just ready to keep on building each week.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. How did you play compared to how you thought you would play in your first game?
I played good. I thought I was going to be real rusty. I was a little nervous for real. I feel like with me being around in the atmosphere, being on the sidelines for them couple weeks, it kind of kept me in that game mode. So when I was out there, it felt good.
Yeah, I was obviously disappointed.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry.
Yep, I got you. My bad.
Guys, obviously disappointed not to get any sacks on Jay Cutler. What do you have to do to bounce back?
Go out there and work hard to get the sacks. I know that it was just a good scheme they had. Chipping the ends and stuff like that. But we got to work through that. Just on the back end, everybody got to you know, cover some more, and then, you know, the D-line to get there, you know, if that's what they're doing.
I know you talked about it, but how did you feel after that first game after being off for so long?
Oh, I felt good. You know, I was just a little sore, you know, just shoulders and stuff from hitting around, doing stuff that I haven't did, you know, full go, you know, like I did out there this weekend. But, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, it was way better than I expected.
Did you play as much as you thought or less than you thought you were going to play?
I played more because, you know, I thought they was just going to ease me in a little bit. But I was ready for more plays. But, you know, I didn't think they was going to actually play me more.
When you look at the talent in this locker room, is it difficult for you to comprehend that this team sits two games below sea level right now?
Well, you know, I mean, somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. We just trying to win more games than we lose. And, you know, it's been a bad, you know, five games that we lost when we know we should have won. But, you know, I feel like we just looking for eight games straight. You know, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we have to do, you know, and the pressure's on us. No, I mean, I feel good. You know, I'm ready to go out there today and practice and, you know, go that much harder than I did last week because I know that the rotation, once you get in the game, it's pretty much easy because you're four on, four off, and, you know, you're getting a lot of rest, you know, and it's I like the rotation. So with me not even being in the best shape I can be right now, I wasn't really that tired out there last game.
Anderson, you had the wind knocked out of you at one point?
Yeah, I fell on somebody's heel, you know, right in my stomach. When I made the tackle on Forte, and you know, I just got the wind knocked out of me, but I'm good now.
How big a step was Monday night for you in this whole kind of process coming back to where you want to be?
You know, it just built my confidence way back. I mean, you know, back up, you know, and it felt good, you know, to go out there and know that you still got it, you know, and you're still there, but you know, you got to work a little bit harder because you're a little rusty. But you know, that came. I already knew that. So this week, I'm going to make sure, you know, I just look at the film and just try to do better than I did last week.
You alluded to last week that you just had no idea until you get out there how it's going to feel. To just
thanks, Brandon. We're good.
Well, from the locker room, we hear that King Dunlap expects to be a starter at left guard on Sunday. That's what he's telling reporters. Evan Mathis has the turf toe. So King Dunlap will follow that up tonight on Eagles Nightly, 7 o'clock here from the NovaCare Complex. Let's go back into the locker room now. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, the newest cornerback here, ups and downs through eight games.
Did extra push-ups?
Nah, that's it.
Okay. What do you think this is going to be like? I mean, obviously, they invested a lot in you, and then all of a sudden they traded you. Is it kind of like bittersweet playing them now? Or?
Nah, you know. I mean, it's going to be fun to go against you, you know. Take all that trade, and you put all that in your mindset, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to allowed to have an effect on my outcome of playing these games. But it's going to be good to see some of my old teammates, friends, but at the same time, I know it's business.
You have no reason to have kind of a chip on your shoulder, one to play in Arizona, and then, you know, and then last week, I guess, some criticism, et cetera. I mean,
Nah. I don't listen to criticism, man. I've always been a tight. They go out and do what I do, bro, good or bad. But I got to do a little tip on Minnesota because we is playing a team that, you know, traded me. So I'm going to go out there see any week. I'm going to give it my all, but I'm really going to go out there this week.
Do you want to show them what they're missing?
Nah, shit, it don't matter to me. They know what they had. I was there. I mean, shoot, it's a business.
How are you feeling playing the nickel? Is it still a learning process in there?
Nah, man, it's the 10th week. All that learning stuff, go out the door, you know, it's just a lot of communication errors, I can say that, but just as far as just a learning process, nah.
Communication errors between you and other guys on the team, or?
Nah, you know, just like certain formations come out and then you don't get the call out in time, and then when the plays come, it's too late to get it out. So, you know, you just got to work on that and talk a little more, that's it.
Thank you.
Hey, Dom, do you have an appreciation a little bit now that you've played a lot of nickel, for the guys who have kind of made their careers off beat? You know, they're unheralded guys. There are a lot of guys in this league who have been nickel corners for a while.
Yeah. I got a lot of respect for them. That ain't no easy job. You know, you got a guy that's coming out there using your short, faster, swifty guys that got an in and out break on you, and it's hard to just tell which way they're going to go. And if you got a quarterback that can make the throw, it's very hard. So they get a lot of respect from me.
Do you follow the guy that was traded for you, Kevin Cobb, and I'm sure you've seen him on film, but do you kind of follow him during the season to see how he's playing and stuff? You know what I mean? Because of the deal thing.
I know what you mean, but that ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, I look at him this week just far as because we played him, but just far as following him, because it, nah.
What do you see when you look at him on tape? How is he playing? I know he was hurt last week, but what does it look like he's doing well on?
I mean, you can tell he's new in the offense, but at the same time, he's running this smooth. He get the ball out fast. He's not holding the ball long. But, you know, they don't have him up for this week, so really just looking at Skelton.
And what do you see on Skelton? Is a bigger guy, strong arm, some inaccuracy issues. What do you take on tape when you see him?
No, I like him. You know, I was always a Skelton fan even when I was there. You know, I was pulling for the guy. So I know what he's capable of. I know he can run this offense real good, you know, and he does have a big arm.
You said, I think after the game, you know, I know I'm a better defensive back than that. I'm a better cornerback than that. What do you think has been the issue, I guess, that's prevented you from you feel playing to what you think is your top potential?
No, you know, at the nickel, you know, it's a lot of thinking, you know. And anytime as a player you go into the game, you always thinking. You tend to play slower. So it's nothing just far as just athletic-wise or the scheme-wise. It's just a lot of thinking, that's it.
Have you seen improvement? Are you thinking faster? Is it
becoming more instinctive for you? In some calls, a little confused, but other than that, it's cool.
Jose said it took him almost a season to just get his head around it, and he's had to hone his craft for several years since.
Yeah.
Do you think you have that kind of time, or do you wish you did?
Nah, you know, I wish I did, but, you know, coming in on a short season, you know, I ain't making excuses, but it is what it is. You know, that's the job they wanted to play. I'm trying to learn it to the best of my ability and go out there and play it. And like you said, with Jose, you know, I call him the true nickel every time I see him. Because, shit, that's what he been doing for a long time. So anytime I can pick his brain, I try.
The last time the Eagles played the Cardinals, it was the NFC Championship game, and you were on that Cardinals team. What do you recall about that game?
You know, I just recall the shoot-up. Fun moment, you know, just far as getting the win, but a hard-fought game. You know, we jumped out on them a little bit, and they came back and had some few big plays at the end. And basically, I just take from the win.
I know Deshaun had that big play when you were you guys never joked about it or anything after you came here?
Yeah, we to this day always. You know, even with some of the guys and some of the trainers, they'll be like, "Yeah, I remember Deshaun Gotti a long time ago, though, baby, a long time ago."
You said Kevin Cobb. You don't expect him. He's going to be in the lineup. Or?
Nah, you know, that's not what we're preparing for. You know, he's still walking around in the boot, so you got to look at the other guy.
So you came here and you were known for your speed. You're on punt block in part because of your speed. Who's faster, you or Deshaun Jackson?
I don't know, baby. I'm gonna say me. You know, I never get another man credit, but I know he's pretty fast, though. That's the race I'm looking forward to if it ever happens.
It's got to be frustrating to a certain extent. I mean, you made the Pro Bowl.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Forty years, 14,610 days, 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution, all for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series, prime, perform, recover.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Back to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. Hey, we've got a great promotion going with our good friends at Geico. We'd like you to head on over to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, which you're at right now, and throw in that / Eagles cam. Check out the Eagles cam picture from the Bears game and tag yourself. It's such a cool piece of technology. Just go to / Eagles cam on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and check out the Eagles cam picture from the Bears game. Tag yourself. Find the Geico caveman, and you could win an authentic Eagles jersey. Do that right now. It's really, really cool technology. You're going to love it a lot. And we hope you enjoy. So it's our Eagles fan cam, PhiladelphiaEagles.com/ or just / Eagles cam. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? I'm a Philly native and I'm an admirer of your writing. I'm a bit of an amateur writer myself.
So
and I dream of being an amateur sports writer, done a little. But I want to talk about the Eagles and ask you to discuss something.
Yeah.
That they, I guess it's kind of complicated when you bring in a lot of free agents and you know, new schemes and stuff like they've talked about. And when you go from game to game, one team will learn more of your scheme, and they, you know, you have to keep rehashing it and stuff. But what I want to talk to you about is the offense and defensive line. The merits of, like, we have a faster line, like we go for more athletic guys. What about teams that have big guys that are athletic too? They seem to be the teams that we have more of a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. You would love to have bigger athletic guys. They're very hard to find. Name a great defensive line out there. The Giants, okay? OCU Manure, first round draft pick. Jason Pierre-Paul, first round draft pick. Not sure about Justin Tuck. I'm not sure what round he was taking. Second round. You know, that's the core of your great defensive line. High draft picks. Hard to find.
Yeah, we have more trouble with some of those teams. It seems like when we play a team like Dallas and we gear up and beat them, then we got to play a team like the Giants, which are very aggressive, like Pittsburgh and stuff. And I'm a little confused as to how we do with the 3-4 defenses instead of the 4-3. How do the Eagles rate against those tough nose tackles?
You know, the Cowboys run a 3-4. The Eagles did very well against that. The Redskins run a 3-4. Eagles did well against that. They've moved the ball pretty well against everyone. Now, not as well against the 4-3 of the Bears. But I don't think there's a definitive pattern there, 4-3, 3-4.
Yeah, it just seems like the last game against the Bears, we got a little bit more manhandled by their offense and defensive line by big guys who were athletic. And I think that the Eagles' idea of getting more athletic guys was good, but it seems like maybe in the next year we can look for one or two guys that are bigger and still athletic.
You're always looking for that. That's why they've got six defensive ends here, because they want to find good pass rushers. You know, they were fortunate to get Cullen Jenkins in free agency. He's played well. but it's generally very difficult to find. So, you know, that's your elusive pieces, your offensive line, your defensive line, your quarterbacks, your cornerbacks. You know, now this team needs more playmakers on defense. That's clear. Moving forward, big picture. Whether they develop them from inside, Paul, I don't know. They've got to get people. You got to get more stops on the football field than you've had here. It's certainly in the fourth quarter. You got to get stops, and the Eagles have not had enough of them.
Thing is big, but it seems it's very dependent upon how the two lines handle the line of scrimmage. It really makes a big difference. And in the last game, Vic got hit a lot more, was under a lot more pressure, and we didn't put enough pressure on Chicago. So that's why I brought the subject up.
Yeah.
It seems like it's the focal point of our problems. Maybe I don't know.
I think it's always the focal point. That the offensive line is always the focal point. The line of scrimmage is always the focal point. The Eagles just do – it's just – I think Juan just wants to play coverage, but it's not really been as consistent as he needs it to be. They don't blitz nearly as much as Jim Johnson. Or Sean McDermott, for that matter. They don't blitz much at all. They rely on the four-man. And the Bears, consequently, the Bears' offensive line blocked. And you see Michael Vick just got hit a lot. But the Bears' offensive line, they blocked. They had, you know, seven people, the five offensive linemen and the two backs who helped in chipping. They're blocking four guys. It's easy. That's easy business.
Yeah, well, I think it's the focal point of our problems. Everything else works out, you know, and mathematically, you know, good days, bad days. But if we could straighten out some more of that, when we get the tough teams, we need a little bit different of a plan with those big guys. And I think that might help a lot. Well, anyway, thanks for letting me call in.
Whoa. And, give me a prediction.
Oh, yeah, my prediction is 52-6, Eagles.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Dave.
We appreciate
it. Eagles.
Yes, you got it, brother. Thanks for the optimism. Thanks for the kind words. 215-339. 6709 Eagles Live is the name of the show here. PhiladelphiaEagles.com every day, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And we're cranky today. There's no doubt about it. I am an absolute, pretty much a jerk today. Sam, would you agree that I'm a jerk today? Yeah. Everybody's laughing in here. I'm in a bad mood. And I just don't enjoy losing. And I don't like being 3-5. And let's turn it around. I just never saw this coming. That game the other night was so frustrating from the very first play of the game when Matt Forte takes the handoff and everybody in the building knew he was taking the handoff. Gets a big gain. It was just so ridiculously frustrating. And then the Eagles get a lead, and then they can't hold it. Trini in Maryland, is that correct?
Yeah. Hey, dude. What's going on, baby?
How are you?
Well, you know, the after beating Blues.
Yeah, exactly. And a beating, I tell you, six points. And you can count on your hands where the Eagles just dropped the ball literally in so many situations and could have made up that six-point deficit very easily. Very easily.
You know what? Here's the thing, right? It's like before the Eagles won against the Redskins and Dallas Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
the theme was that new coach, new team, new scheme, bunch of free agent pickups, that kind of stuff. That was the theme, okay? Everybody understood that it would take time for this team to gel and all that. Now, like you and everybody else, and I listen to you regularly.
Thank you.
Okay? We figured once we put that spanking on them cowgirls that we would have turned the corner and ready to move on.
Yes.
Okay? But I guess Chicago, I mean, some of the things that bothered me the most, I'll give you an example. That massive Chicago line where we had the wide nine set up where what they kept doing was using their tackles, okay, and running at Fort and the Barbarian through the big holes and our linebackers just won't fill it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They ran the stretch all game long. I'm not going to blame the linebackers. Linebackers, safeties, D-line, cornerbacks. They ran right at the cornerbacks. You know, you run right to the edge of this defense. And that's really been this way for years, running to the – this is the first play of the game. No, is it? No. It's an early play of the game. Bears drove right down the field.
There was a problem for me was this. We were down against Chicago, right?
Yeah.
We were up 24 to 17, I think it was. right?
Yep, yep.
And it seemed like what I've seen in the past, like the offense went passive. We came in and ran a quick three and out, and we were done. And I said to myself, wait a minute. You know, the same aggression that you discussed all morning about we're not seeing that aggression in the fourth quarter? Okay. It seemed like as soon as we got up on top, the coaches every week, and don't get this twisted, I love Andy Reid. He is my number one coach. I'll ride and die with Andy and the Eagles.
Okay.
So ain't no conflict with that, okay? I believe in him, all right? But what I continue to see is when we get up on these teams, what happens is it seems like the play calling gets passive.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. The Eagles were aggressive. They threw the football. I'm not sure what you mean. What do you mean passive?
Well, I mean, okay, you score, you get up 24-17 on Chicago.
Okay.
The next three plays, the next play calling sequence that happened with Vic and the team, we went three and out.
Well, that's not whether they're good calls or bad calls. I wouldn't call them passive calls. I wouldn't call lack of, I would not call it a lack of being aggressive calls. I mean, gosh, they had a fake punt, for goodness sakes. I mean, they weren't being lack of aggressive.
I was concerned about that.
I'm concerned about a lot of things.
Yeah. So, again, these Eagles. I mean, like this weekend, everybody expects us to put a spanking on the Cardinals. They're the Cardinals. Well, what are they? They're what?
Two and six. 2-6.
Six. I mean, we lose to them. We got the same record as the Cardinals.
I'm not taking anything for granted. Exactly. I don't want to hear about. I mean. Paul picked 52-6. This team is 3-5. This is a 3-5 team against a 2-6 team. Just go win the darn game, and then we'll talk about the Giants. Trini, give me a prediction for the game.
I think that this team still hasn't found an identity.
Agreed.
For itself yet.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? And I think I go back to expectations. Like everybody else, I expected that. Once we turned the corner, what we thought that we had turned the corner against the Dallas Cowboys and the Redskins, okay, that we would just start gelling and start moving forward. And I think the fact is that the team is still trying to find an identity and is still trying to gel because we just haven't found that yet. We haven't found the cohesion or the communication between the coaches and the players and the players and the players. They're still working on that. And until we get that together, and decide on a uniform kind of identity moving forward, we're going to continue to have these lapses.
Trini, good analysis. Give me a prediction.
I'm still, I believe in my boys, I'm saying, 28-10.
Thanks very much, Trini. Thanks for the call. And listen, agreed. I think we all agree. This team has not found itself, each other. The coach, it just hasn't come together as a team. It's time to come together as a team. 8 games to go. Let's go. Dave Spadaro with you. We want to thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 o'clock. The latest from the locker room, King Dunlap expecting to start at left guard in place of the injured Evan Mathis, who has turf toe. We'll follow up with that story and much, much more tonight on Eagles Nightly at 7 o'clock. Tune in then. Thanks for joining us today on Eagles Live. We're back tomorrow at 11 a.m., Coordinator's Day. Everyone have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Everybody working, I challenge each other.
Who wants? I'll fight for it.